And you folks know where Goble's out is? It's over near Kalamazoo. Everybody knows where Kalamazoo is. And so, but I'm originally from Georgia, and I moved to Massachusetts about 41 years ago. And that's where I met my wife, and the rest is history. And so that's where our home is. And it was an honor and a privilege to be able to, when I resigned and went into evangelism, to be a member at Mountain View Baptist Church with Dr. Tharp and your dear pastor. We've heard great things about what God is doing here, and we rejoice with you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. This morning, if you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, if you would, chapter 10, verse 29. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. And have you ever really thought about your relationship with the Holy Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit has a very unique role in our lives as Christians. And the Holy Spirit is not power to be used. He is a person to be yielded to so that you might be used. And so we need to realize how much of a role the Holy Spirit has. He's a very unique person. I want us to go to verse 29, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at verse 29 together. The Bible says, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." I want you to think on the thought this morning, the end results of improper relationships. The end results of improper relationships. Now, you dear folks won't fully understand the purpose of my lesson, but there are several sins against the Holy Spirit mentioned in the Bible. Four of these sins can be committed by the child of God. The first one, of course, insulting the Holy Spirit, as we see here in verse 29. I want to explain what these, you've heard these terms, but I'm going to explain to you what they really mean and how do we commit them. Insulting the Holy Spirit simply means to leave him alone. This is the Christian who will not do what he says. And to understand this Christian, you have to understand the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, of course, is written to Hebrew Christians. And God is admonishing them not to neglect their salvation. You know, that's something that especially we just went through Resurrection Sunday, and we all need to be reminded. It's so easy to take it for granted because it didn't cost us anything, but it cost our dear Lord everything. And how we need to you know, not neglect our salvation, but to continue growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the sad thing today in a lot of churches, a lot of Christians have grown old in church, but they haven't grown up. And so it's important that we grow and mature in the Lord. He likens the land of Egypt to the conditions of the natural man. God compares the wilderness to the carnal Christian and the promised land to the spirit-filled Christian. Now, don't forget, the promised land is not heaven. You know, the interesting thing is, remember in the promised land, there was enemies. There was famine and starvation and hunger. And so, you know, the wonderful thing about the Christian life is this may be our promised land, but we got something better, amen? We got a lot better. God is telling the person who has been saved that he is out of Egypt. You know, the world system. Aren't you glad you're out of the world system? And on his way to the promised land, going through the wilderness, he is to continue on into the promised land and live the spirit-filled life. The Israelites are used as an example. And so they left the land of Egypt because God's deliverance through the Passover lamb, they went into the wilderness, across the wilderness, as God led them. As God led them. Now, you know the story of the 12 spies that went into, out of the promised land, and they came back with glowing reports of its beauty and its fruitfulness. They told the people that they could not go in. The people decided not to go in. And because they made this decision, God sent them back into the wilderness and told them that not one adult would not see or enter the promised land except Caleb and Joshua, who were the two spies who voted to go into the land. See, there's a difference between when we let our flesh determine our decisions and when we discern and listen to the voice of God on what God's will is. The people paid no attention to God's command. They had not listened to God's order, and in doing so, they committed the awful sin of insulting the Holy Spirit. Now, the second one we're very familiar with, Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Just raise your hand, because I don't know you. Just read that text for me. He'll read Acts chapter 7, verse 51 for me, so we'll finish on time. Just raise your hand. Anybody. Don't be shy. Yes, sir. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Thank you, sir. Now, resisting is the sin of listening to the Holy Spirit, but disobeying Him. See, they did not insult Him because they did listen to Him, but having heard, they refused to obey. But this sin is committed before the one of insulting the Holy Spirit. Nobody insults the Holy Spirit by refusing to listen to Him until they have listened to Him and disobeyed. Now, this is not great of a sin as insulting Him. It is on the road of insulting the Holy Spirit. And they would have never insulted Him had they not resisted Him. In other words, had they not refused to do what He said to do, they would not have gone on to refuse to listen. The order is first, resist by listening and not doing. And then later, why listen? They didn't obey anyway. Then there's the third one, quenching the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Somebody read that for me, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Anybody?
Quench not the Spirit.
That was so long, wasn't it? but in this short verse, I want us to grab hold of what it's teaching us. This is the sin of listening, consider what He says, obeying some of what He says, and disobeying the rest. In other words, quenching is the screening of what the Holy Spirit says. The Christian hears the Holy Spirit, reads the book the Holy Spirit authored, your King James Bible, amen, and he gives serious consideration to obedience in some areas. He obeys, and in some areas, he disobeys. This is a terrible sin, but not as bad as resisting. Resisting is a terrible sin, but not as bad as insulting. And so it is better to listen to the Holy Spirit, consider what He says, do some of it, than to listen to Him and reject Him. It is better to listen and reject than refuse to listen. It is interesting to notice this order. First, quenching. Listening and screening. Obeying some, disobeying some. Second, resisting. Listening and refusing. Thirdly, insulting. Refusing to listen. The quenching of the Holy Spirit is the condition of most Christians. We read the Bible, decide what sounds reasonable to us, and obey that which sounds reasonable. We hear the preacher preach, we scream what he says, decide what sounds logical to us, and then decide on that basis what to obey. The average Christian sits in the pew and quenches or screens the Holy Spirit. The average Christian reads the Bible and does likewise. Then there's the fourth one, grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. If somebody read that for me. Yes, sir.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you seal the day of God.
Thank you, sir. Now, you know, we like that sealing part, amen? We're sealed. You know, but what about that first? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. That's us walking in the old man, yielding to the old man rather than the new man in Christ. And so now notice what grieves him. If you're there in Ephesians 4 again, read verse 25 through verse 29 for me. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 25 through 29. Right. Thank you. Now, notice there all the things that he's talking about here. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to us. When he gets there in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. How's our mouth today? You know, the day we got saved, Christ gave us a new mouth, new tongue. Amen? And so that's that new man that he's talking about. And that's why he's addressing that. He tells us here in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Because why? Because we are living most of our Christian life in the old man rather than the new man. We'll be looking at that tonight. And then verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. See, when we get angry, I know Christians don't get angry, right? But let's just pretend. Attack the problem. Don't attack people. You know, do you ever realize that emotion of anger, the flip side of that same emotion is anger. And so just like you can't force or you can't make somebody love you, you can't make somebody be angry. It's a decision. It's a choice we make. So don't choose anger, bad emotion all the time when you don't agree or maybe you disagree with things. We need to be in the new man and realize that we're not always going to agree. And we're not always going to like things. And when we do, let's have the right attitude and the right spirit about things. Also, I wanted us to see, it grieves the Holy Spirit when his children do not get along with each other. It grieves him when we fuss and we fight. It grieves him when we criticize each other. It grieves him when his children are improperly related one to the other. These sins are a downhill slide. First, the Christian grieves the Holy Spirit. Then he quenches the Holy Spirit. And then he resists the Holy Spirit till he finally winds up insulting the Holy Spirit. And think about that. If we treat each other the way we do, how do you think we treat the Holy Spirit? If our attitudes and our anger and our bitterness and our fussing with each other, we do the same thing to him. And see, this is just terrible. If he can have victory over resisting the Holy Spirit, he will not insult him. If he can have victory over quenching, he will not resist or insult him. And if he can have victory over grieving the Holy Spirit, he will not quench him or resist him or insult him. In other words, by being improperly related to God's people, we then begin to quench him by listening to him, but not accepting all he commands us to do. Once that is done, then we continue our downhill trek to come to the depth of the Christian sin against the Holy Spirit, that of insulting him or not listening at all. This shows the importance of our proper treatment of God's people. This is why we ought to relate ourselves properly to the weak, to the fallen, to the strong, the brokenhearted, and others in God's family. Hey, we're not all a bunch of clones, amen? You know, but we're all God's children. And this is your local body, and this local church, this is your church family. You're a family. And when one hurts, the other hurts. When one's joyful and rejoicing, the other. I know it's Sunday school, you can say amen. It's a wonderful relationship, isn't that? But we can't have those kind of relationships if we don't have a proper relationship with the Holy Spirit to begin with. And so this is what God is trying to show us this morning. If somehow we could win the victory over grieving the Holy Spirit, we could certainly win the victory over quenching him, resisting him, and insulting him. That means that the one who does the grieving is the loser. He grieves the Holy Spirit, and because he does, he qualifies himself to quench the Holy Spirit, resist the Holy Spirit, and insult the Holy Spirit. Now, soon the Christian life is wasted and rather useless. The one who he hates is not the loser. The hater is the loser. The one who is the object of bitterness is not the loser. Many times I've said I'd rather be the hated than the hater, the object of gossip rather than the gossiper, the rebuke rather than the rebuker. Oh, people of God, let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. If you look at the Hebrew word here, in this word grief, the same word is translated means, it's the same word that when you grieve over a lost loved one, someone and your family have passed away and died, and just think how grieved you are. That's exactly the same emotion, the same feeling the Holy Spirit feels when we sin against him. When we quench him, when we grieve him, when we resist him, till we finally wind up insulting him. And so we need to realize this is a wonderful relationship if we do not do these things. By improper relationship with each other and bad attitudes toward each other. The same is true in all of life's relationships. You ask any pastor, he looks out in the congregation and he sees that one member with that look on their face. Looked like they had a lemon for supper, you know. But anyway, any pastor knows what I'm talking about. It is that look of discontent, a look of lack of cooperation. Something is wrong between the person and the pastor or the church program. And it isn't long until he begins to screen what is said from the pulpit. The pastor he once trusted, he no longer trusts. He begins to quench what is said from the pulpit. He screens what is preached. He no longer gives himself to the pastor. He's no longer loyal to the pastor. Then comes the next step. He has grieved. He has quenched. And now he resists. He listens to what the pastor says with no intention of responding. He now has a look of resisting on his face, Every pastor has seen it over and over again. The person listens with rebellion and resistance. Then comes the last stage. He insults the pastor by not even listening. He pays him no mind at all. It is as if the pastor doesn't exist at all. The tragedy is, it is the member that is the loser. Of course, it is the godly pastor who's grieved and disappointed, but he has the right heart, the right love, the right attitude toward the member. He will not be damaged except by disappointment. Usually, after the cycle is run, the disenchanted and disgruntled, then rebellious church member goes somewhere else. Amen. He soon finds that the new pastor and new church are not perfect either. Now, if anybody's sitting here this morning, if you're perfect, I'd like to meet you after church. I've never met a perfect person. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who once said, you know, if you're looking for a perfect church, it won't be when you get there. You know, there's no such thing. But he finds the same conditions that embittered him before. And after a couple of years or so, the imperfections are soon discovered of the new pastor, the new church. Then comes the same disenchantment, followed by the quenching and the screening, followed by listening and resisting, then followed by insulting or not listening at all. Let me just say in the last few minutes as we close, the same is true with friends. The secret is do not be grieved. As I said, that word grieved in the Greek is the same translated word that we experience when we lose a loss, you know, a loved one that we've lost. And that's exactly how the Holy Spirit feels when we sin against Him and resisting and insulting and quenching and grieving Him. And so the purpose of this message this morning, or lesson, is to lead us to realize the destination of a trip that is started by improper relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep your heart right with God's people. Amen. Not doing the initial sin a Christian can commit against the Holy Spirit. Once that sin is committed, the quenching follows. Once the quenching, then the resisting, followed by the insulting of the Holy Spirit. The result is a hard, cold Christian who has arrived at a destination of which he had never thought and for which he had never planned. And to think that it all started because of improper treatment of fellow Christians. There's a... I was in Georgia in a meeting down in Eastman, Georgia several years ago, and I called my pastor. There was a guy in our church that was really bitter toward me. I mean, today I'm telling you, he would literally kill me if he could. There are some of those times in your life that you'll have to make a decision to do the right thing, even though it's going to cost, you're going to pay a price for it. And that was one of those times. And anyway, I called Pastor and told him, we got to meet because the Spirit of God can't work among His people with a bad spirit like that. And you know, and so anyway, make a long story short, the only reason why I'm sharing that with you is because at that meeting, it was on a Wednesday night after church, at that meeting, I invited the Holy Spirit into that meeting. The last thing I wanted to do was for Him to see Randy Davis and see my flesh. Because I'll be honest with you, I took from that man which I would never take from no man. No pat on the back. It was just the Holy Spirit of God. And so he told my pastor, he said, you know, every time I preach, he wouldn't be in auditorium, he'd be out in a fellowship hall, or he thought I should go before the church, and pastor said, that's not happening. There was just where two men in our church had a business together and worked together, and one did the other one wrong. And my only role was just to go and pray to make sure that they treated each other like brothers in the Lord. And so all I'm saying is that I know one thing. I said this to them. I said, do you love your bitterness more than you love Jesus? Think about that. You can either feed it, nurse it, rehearse it, or let God have it. You know? And my point is this, is that if he walked through that door right now, I would hug him. And I tell you why. The reason I want forgiveness is not so he'll be nice to me. It's not so that everything can go back to normal. It's because it's for him. I see, here's a brother that's out of fellowship with God. I want him to know what that's like again, to restore fellowship with our God. I wanted him to know what it is to have the joy of the Lord once again. And so I'm going to end with this morning. This was written by Diane Foster Cook, June 2nd, 1995. Holy Spirit, friend, guide, direct, and teach me. Holy Spirit, light my way. Be ever present by my side in all that I do and say. Be my friend and confidant. Share all my joys and fears. Lighten all my burdens and wipe away all my tears. Kneel beside me when I pray. Uplift me when I fall. Intercede when needed, whereupon God's help I call. When nights are dark and lonely and the days are much too long, replace my sad and restless soul with restful peace and song. Reveal the will of God to me for what he hath me to do. The love of God is all I need, for his precious love is true. Folks, listen, let's not find ourselves grieving, quenching, resisting, and insulting the Holy Spirit. Because when we do, that's exactly how we're going to treat one another. I think this is helpful for all of us in the body of Christ today. And why don't you decide today, if God has spoken to your heart, if there's anyone that you may have had a problem with or disagree, make things right and have the right spirit in the Spirit of Christ. And I promise you, you'll be blessed. Pastor?